People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com, FoundItemClothing.com. Keep your feet warm this winter with some Cthulhu slippers from BunnySlippers.com. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by 01 Publishing.
Weird fiction,
check out some of their top titles. The Sadist Bible, Whispers from the Abyss, Volumes 1 and 2, Case File Arkham, and many more. Find out more about 01 by going to 01publishing.com. Since 2011, 01 Publishing has been dedicated to producing the best in speculative fiction across a wide variety of formats, including prose, graphic novels, and audio fiction. Thank you for joining us. This is the People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, your guide to weird fiction, cosmic horror, and other strangeness. Join us as we explore the Cthulhu Mythos timeline from the start of time to the cooling of our sun. This is one of our readings. Join us next time for a full episode. You can help by donating a buck or five to paypal.me/pgttcm or donate monthly to patreon.com/pgttcm. Remember, you can follow the People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos at pgttcm.com and pgttcm.podbean.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at pgttcm. Hosted by DB Spitzer and Dame Madam Mortician.
People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos.
People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos.
All right. Welcome to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. This is DB Spitzer and
Dame Madam Mortician.
And we are recording right now in the middle of DDMM's living room. She's packing up, getting ready to go to South by Southwest. Costumes, wigs, galore everywhere. It's like if a tornado hit a pack of drag queens.
I do not travel light.
Makeup all over.
Oh yeah, glitter, glitter bombs.
So we're gonna be talking about, what are we talking about today?
The Cats of Ulthar.
Yeah, and who's that? Who's that written by? That's that H.P. Lovecraft guy. Ever hear of him?
I think I know that guy. Heard of him once or twice.
Yeah. So what did you think of the story? You've read it a few times now.
I have. I enjoyed it, especially because it's about kitties.
Yeah.
Yay, kitties.
Badass
so
kitties.
So cute. And, you know, in the end, justice prevailed.
Justice prevailed.
So, I always like a happy ending like that.
Cool. All right. So, you're going to be at South by Southwest. You're going to be handing out stickers. If people see you, get a sticker from you.
That is correct.
Yeah.
If you see me and you tell me something weird or funny or just yell at me, I'll give you a sticker.
Yeah, just see her, just get a sticker. And if she doesn't have a sticker, well, shit.
Then get a photo.
We'll get stickers online. We'll get stickers online. You'll have to pay for them, but they'll be bigger, they'll be cooler. It'll be a big thing. Just what? Just wait. Just what?
The hype is real.
The hype is real. Anything else you want to shout out about before?
Let's just get into it, man.
The Cats of Ulthar.
It is said that in Ulthar, which lies beyond the river sky, no man may kill a cat. And this I can verily believe as I gaze upon him who sitteth purring before the fire. For the cat is cryptic and close to strange things, which men cannot see. He is the soul of antique Egyptus and bearer of tales from forgotten cities in Meroe and Ophir. He is the kin of the jungle's lords and heir to the secrets of hoary and sinister Africa. The Sphinx is his cousin, and he speaks her language, but he is more ancient than the Sphinx and remembers that which she hath forgotten. In Ulthar, before ever the burgesses forbade the killing of cats, there dwelt an old cotter and his wife who delighted to trap and slay the cats of their neighbors. Why they did this, I know not, save that many hate the voice of the cat in the night and take it ill that cats should run stealthily about yards and gardens at twilight. But whatever the reason, this old man and woman took pleasure in trapping and slaying every cat which came near their hovel. And from some of the shrouds heard after dark, many villagers fancied that the manner of slaying was exceedingly peculiar. But the villagers did not discuss such things with the old man and his wife, because of the habitual expression on the withered faces of the two, and because their cottage was so small and so darkly hidden under spreading oaks at the back neglected yard. In truth, much as the owners of cats hated these old folk, they feared them more, and instead of berating them as brutal assassins, merely took care that no cherished pet or mouse or should stray toward the remote hovel under the dark trees. When through some unavoidable oversight a cat was missed and sounds heard after dark, the loser would lament impotently, or console himself by thanking fate that it was not one of his children who had thus vanished. For the people of Ulthar were simple, and knew not whence it is all cats first came. One day a caravan of strange wanderers from the south entered the narrow, cobbled streets of Ulthar. Dark wanderers they were, and unlike the other roving folk who passed through the village twice a year. In the marketplace, they told fortunes for silver and bought gay beads from the merchants. What was the land of these wanderers, none could tell. But it was seen that they were given to strange prayers, and that they had painted on the sides of their wagons strange figures with human bodies and the heads of cats, hawks, rams, and lions. And the leader of the caravan wore a headdress with two horns and a curious disc between the horns. There was in this singular caravan a little boy with no father or mother, but only a tiny black kitten to cherish. The plague had not been kind to him, yet had left him this small furry thing to mitigate his sorrow. And when one is very young, one can find relief in the lively antics of a black kitten. So the boy whom the dark people call Minis smiled more oft than he wept as he sate playing with a graceful kitten on the steps of the oddly painted wagon. On the third morning of the wanderer's stay in Ulthar, Minis could not find his kitten, and as he sobbed aloud in the marketplace, certain villagers told him of the old man and his wife, and of the sounds they heard at night. And when he heard these things, his sobbing gave place to meditation, and finally prayer. He stretched out his arms toward the sun and prayed in a tongue no villager could understand, though indeed the villagers did not try very hard to understand, since their attention was mostly taken up by the sky and the odd shapes the clouds were assuming. It was very peculiar, but as the little boy uttered his petition, there seemed to form overhead the shadowy nebulous figures of exotic things, of hybrid creatures crowned with horn-flanked discs. Nature is full of such illusions to impress the imaginative. That night the wanderers left Ulthar, and they were never seen again. And the householders were troubled when they noticed that in all the village there was not a cat to be found. From each hearth the familiar cat had vanished. Cats large and small, black, gray, striped, yellow, and white. Old Crannon, the burgomaster, swore that the dark folk had taken the cats away in revenge for killing of Minis's kitten, and cursed the caravan and the little boy. But Nith, the lean notary, declared that the old cotter and his wife were more likely persons to be suspect, for their hatred of cats was notorious and increasingly bold. Still no one durst complain to the sinister couple. Even when little Attell, the innkeeper's son, vowed that he had at twilight seen all the cats of Ulthar in their accursed yard, under the trees, pacing very slowly and solemnly in a circle around the cottage, two abreast, as if in performance of some unheard rite of beasts. The villagers did not know how much to believe from so small a boy, and though they feared that the evil pair had charmed the cats to their death, they preferred not to chide the old cotter till they met with him outside his dark and repellent yard. So Ulthar went to sleep in vain anger, and when the people awakened at dawn, behold, every cat was back in its accustomed hearth. No, wait. So Ulthar went to sleep in vain anger, and when the people awaked at dawn, behold, every cat was back to his accustomed hearth. Large and small, black, gray, striped, yellow, and white, none was missing. Very sleek and fat did all the cats appear, and sonorous with purring content. The citizens talked with one another of the affair and marveled not a little. Old Crannon again insisted that it was the dark folk who had taken them, since cats did not return alive from the cottage of the ancient man and his wife. But all agreed on one thing, that the refusal of all the cats to eat their portions of meat or drink their saucers of milk was exceedingly curious. And for two whole days, the sleek, lazy cats of Ulthar would touch no food, but only doze by the fire or in the sun. It was fully a week before the villagers noticed that no lights were appearing at dusk in the windows of the cottage under the trees. Then the lean Nith remarked that no one had seen the old man or his wife since the night the cats were away. In another week, the burgomaster decided to overcome his fears and call at the strangely silent dwelling as a matter of duty. Though in so doing, he was careful to take along with him Shang the blacksmith and Thul the cutter of stone as witnesses. And when they had broken down the frail door, they found only this: two clean-picked human skeletons on the earthen floor, and a number of singular beetles crawling in the shadowy corners. There was subsequently much talk among the burgesses of Ulthar. Zath the coroner disputed at length with Nith, the lean notary, and Crannon and Shang and Thul were overwhelmed with questions. Even little Attell, the innkeeper's son, was closely questioned and given a sweetmeat as a reward. They talked of the old cotter and his wife, of the caravan of dark wanderers, of small Minis and his black kitten, of the prayer of Minis, and of the sky during that prayer, of the doings of the cats on the night when the caravan left, and of what was later found in the cottage under the dark trees in the repellent yard. And in the end, the burgesses passed that remarkable law which is told of by traders in Hathig and discussed by travelers in Nir, namely, that in Ulthar no man may kill a cat.
Cats of Ulthar, H.P. Lovecraft.
Meow. Thanks again to 01 Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Find out more by going to 01publishing.com. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by 01 Publishing. Check out some of their top titles: The Sadist Bible, Whispers from the Abyss, Volumes 1 and 2, Case File Arkham, and many more. Find out more about Zero One by going to zeroonepublishing.com. Since 2011, Zero One Publishing has been dedicated to producing the best in speculative fiction across a wide variety of formats, including prose, graphic novels, and audio fiction. Thanks again to BunnySlippers.com and FoundItemClothing.com for sponsoring this episode. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com, FoundItemClothing.com. Keep your feet warm this winter with some Cthulhu slippers from BunnySlippers.com.
So I was lucky enough to be gifted a ticket to WizardCon on Friday. I went with a friend and his niece and took my second cousin with me. It was interesting.
And that's when we lost audio the second time. We lost a lot of audio for this and about the next 2-3 episodes. But luckily, today, Madam Mortician shall return by episode 68, 69, possibly 70. So, look forward to that. Hopefully she's having a super awesome time in Texas. I recently saw that she had Whataburger. I wish I could have Whataburger. But now we talk of The Cats of Ulthar. The Cats of Ulthar is a short story written by the fantasy and horror author H.P. Lovecraft. In June 1920. In the tale, an unnamed narrator relates the story of how a law forbidding the killing of cats came to the town of Ulthar. As the story goes, the city is the home to an old couple who enjoys capturing and killing the townspeople's cats. When a caravan of wanderers passes through the city, a kitty of an orphan traveling with a band disappears. Upon hearing of the couple's attitudes towards cats, Menace invokes a prayer before leaving the town that causes the local felines to swarm the cat killer's house and devour them. Upon witnessing the result, the local politicians pass a law forbidding the killing of cats. Highly influenced by Lord Dunsany, the tale was a personal favorite of Lovecraft and has remained popular since his death. Considered one of the best short stories of Lovecraft's early period, aspects of The Cats of Ulthar would be referred again in the author's works The Other Gods and The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. The character of Atal, the innkeeper's son who witnessed the Cats of Ulthar circling the antagonist's cottage, would later appear in Lovecraft's The Other Gods. In this short story, written in August 1921 and first published in November 1933, Atal, now an adult, becomes an apprentice to Barzai the Wise and travels with him to seek out the tale's eponymous deities. Barzai even mentions the law against killing cats in Ulthar, further cementing the connection. Atal also appears as a priest in The Long Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, written in 1927 but not published until 1943, when Randolph Carter visits the city 300 years after the events of the Cats of Ulthar, when the town is still heavily populated by felines. Carter is later able to summon the Cats of Ulthar to his aid. They help him escape the moon and the moon beasts. Yes, if you haven't read The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, I highly recommend it. It is one of my favorite novellas about cats, well, that involve cats, and zebra riders, and horned men with rubies, and all kinds of cool stuff. Lovecraft outlined the plot to his friend Reinhard Kleiner in 1920 and wrote The Cats of Ulthar on June 15th, 5 months after completing his previous tale, The Terrible Old Man. Conceived during the author's early period, Lovecraft was influenced by the writing of Lord Dunsany and attempted to mimic his style. Along the literary aspects that Lovecraft borrows are the vengeance motif and the ponderous tone of Dunsany. Dunsany's influence is evident on the surface of the text as well. Wanderers similar to the ones portrayed in The Cats of Ulthar appear in Dunsany's earlier tale, Idle Days on the Yann. Lovecraft's character, Menace, shares the name with Menes, a semi-mythical founder of the ancient city of Memphis, Egypt. The ancient Egyptians were admirers of cats, who made it a crime to kill or export felines. Prior to The Cats of Ulthar, Lovecraft had penned several tales in the style of Dunsany, including The White Ship, The Street, The Doom That Came to Sarnath, The Terrible Old Man, The Tree. His next Dunsanian tale, Celephias, was considered by Lovecraft scholar S.T. Joshi to be one of the best and most significant of Lovecraft. The Cats of Ulthar was first published at the Literary Journal Tryout, November 1920, and later appeared in Weird Tales in February 1926 and 1933, as well as being privately reprinted in a 42-copy run in December 1935. Let's not forget it was also printed by Necronomicon Press in 1977. But yes, The Cats of Ulthar, part of the dream cycle of H.P. Lovecraft, connected to the Cthulhu mythos. We shall be talking about the dream cycle in the next episode. And yeah, dream cycle, next episode. So wait for that in a week or two. Hopefully I'll have some updates about the Dame Madame Mortician and her travels through the South. I don't know, what... Do you call Texas part of the South, or is it just simply Texas because of its enormous size? The magnitude of which it, I don't know, takes up of the Americas is significant, so... Yes, we'll find out about Texas and maybe some other things. Alright, next time on People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos.
Thank you for listening to the People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Join us next time when we talk about weird fiction, horror, or any number of topics. Join the discussion on Facebook or Twitter. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to PGTTCM on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Book reviews, film recommendations, and much more. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is edited and produced by D.B. Spitzer, written by Daniel Spitzer and Christina Wright. Hosted by Dedame Madame Mortician and D.B. Spitzer. Music by Kevin MacLeod. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Find some great podcasts and learn more by going to darkmyths.org. Remember to stay squiggly and keep it weird. Thanks again to 01 Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Find out more by going to 01publishing.com. Thanks again to bunnyslippers.com and founditemclothing.com for sponsoring this episode. He is the kin of the jungle's lords and heir to the secrets of Hori... But only does on the fire are in this... Does in the fire? We're setting cats on fire here. Gross. Story took a turn.
He is the kin of the jungle's lords, and heir to the secrets of Hori... But only does on the fire are in this... Does in the fire? We're setting cats on fire here. Story took a turn.